This is UN and Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Matt Wells. In this week's programme, a leading land expert tells us getting young people involved in agriculture is vital to achieving the Africa we want. And we'll hear from a Kenyan scientist on the critical role space technology can play in helping African countries achieve the Sustainable Development Goals. But first, building roads, empowering young people and contributing to peace and development efforts. Those are just some of the duties performed by more than 200 international and local volunteers working with the UN in Sudan. Roughly half of these UN volunteers are serving at the Joint African Union-UN mission in Darfur, UNAMID, in areas such as human rights, child protection and community stabilisation. They often face numerous challenges doing their jobs, such as cultural barriers, extreme weather conditions and insecurity. To mark International Volunteer Day, celebrated on the 5th of December, Setio Budi spoke to Stuart J. Moran, the mission's UNV programme manager in Darfur.
Our volunteers are playing a crucial and critical role to support the mission's main mandate, which is to protect civilians. So when we see the UNAMID patrols, helicopters, etc., these things just cannot happen without the support from the mission infrastructure, including the UN volunteers. So they're supporting things like information technology. We have to have our communications, engineering, supply chain. We have to have our goods and services, aviation. We have aviation experts. So all of these things, UN volunteers are helping to support. In addition, some of our volunteers, they're actually working in the field to support some of the mission efforts, for example, in human rights, child protection efforts, and community stabilization. So these are the ones who actually go out and they directly interface with the citizens of Sudan. And it's just important to mention that through their service in the mission, they are promoting volunteerism. So it's not only to provide service, it's to demonstrate the importance of being a volunteer. And this powerful combination of volunteer spirit and a professional level of skills and experience allows them to really effectively contribute to the mission's mandate and promote peace and development in the region.
How much has their work impacted to the communities?
So if you look at all the benefits that UNAMID is providing for the local communities, then you can look behind them and see that UN volunteers are making significant contributions to support this. For example, if you look at their building roads, water supplies, community centers, schools, etc., these things, they just cannot happen without the background support provided by the UN volunteers and the other mission colleagues. Some of our volunteers are working directly with communities. So for instance, we have some volunteers working in human rights. So they're actually going out into rural communities and they're meeting with people sometimes under the shade of a tree to brief the local citizens on their rights and their human rights, especially vulnerable populations, and what recourse they could take if their human rights are violated.
Can you tell us what challenges have the volunteers faced?
Certainly for our volunteers coming in from overseas, they face culture and language barriers. It's important to stress that even some of our Sudanese volunteers, they also face cultural barriers because they may be from Khartoum or they may be from Port Sudan, etc. And then, of course, there are harsh conditions here, as we know. It can be 50 degrees and the blowing sandstorms. Of course, they're missing loved ones back home. There are some security concerns. Some of our volunteers are serving in very remote and isolated areas, so we're always concerned for their well-being there. And our bodies are maybe not used to this environment, so we have to be very careful about the health and the safety of our volunteers.
UNAMID's Stuart J. Moran speaking there to Setio Budi in Darfur. Promoting young people's access to land was among the key objectives of a four-day conference held recently in Ethiopia's capital, Addis Ababa. The event sought to deepen knowledge about land policy on the continent and to support the African Union's declaration of 2017 as the Year of Youth. This marked the second time the conference has taken place, hosted by the African Land Policy Centre, a joint initiative of the AU Commission, the UN Economic Commission for Africa, and the African Development Bank. Ernest Cho spoke to UNECA's chief land expert, Hubert Ouedraogo.
I think that everybody knows that the majority of the population in the continent is youth. And we consider that this is a potential for Africa, for the development of Africa. So we are focusing on youth because we need youth to play its role in Africa's development. So this is of topical importance for development of the continent.
Could you comment a little bit on some of the land-related issues or challenges that youth on the continent face?
Okay, you know that in our continent, we have systems which allocate land to communities. And the community is managing the land through the elders. So when you are a young person, you have no choice than waiting your turn to really have access and have control of the land. So this is a rather challenging situation for the youth when we want them to come to agriculture, to be productive, to be investors, even large-scale investors. If they don't have access to land by their own, meaning they can't go to a bank and get a loan and invest. So that's a major concern. We have been discussing this, including with traditional leaders. I think we have promising recommendations on that.
There is also the question on whether or not young people are interested in agriculture.
Currently, the youth is not interested in agriculture. They are rather fleeing rural areas. But let's understand, if you have a context where agriculture is done through very rudimentary tools, where you have no infrastructure, no electricity, it's not an attractive investment for anybody, including the youth. So we just need to make a better environment for agriculture, and we'll get the youth there. I think we have been dreaming the Africa we want, but not only dreaming, but also finding concrete ways toward the Africa we want. For example, we had a new group in this conference, the traditional leaders. They were so excited to be here. That's the first time they are brought in this this kind of forum on land, while they are the major stakeholders in managing the land in our countries. So they are very excited. The academia is very excited. We had a civil society platform, very excited. And I think that there is a real sense of ownership of what happened here, and also that this is a forum which is much needed in the continent.
UNECA's Hubert Ouedraogo speaking there to Ernest Cho in Addis Ababa. Although space-based applications are helping African countries stay on track toward the Sustainable Development Goals, or the SDGs, access remains in the infancy stage, according to one Kenyan scientist. Joseph Olwendo is a lecturer at Pwani University who's researching the impact of space weather on satellites and other technology. He attended a recent forum in Dubai looking at how the global space sector worldwide can support efforts to end extreme hunger and address climate change, which are just two of the 17 SDGs. Deanne Penn caught up with Mr. Olwendo at the event, which was jointly organised by the UN Office for Outer Space Affairs, UNOOSA, and the United Arab Emirates.
So at Pwani University, I'm engaged with space weather research. I was making a presentation on the impact of space weather on our human technology. At the low latitude where we are based, that is the Kenya region and the entire larger part of Africa, space weather is a great threat to our technology. So it's my feeling that our contribution in this area will add a lot to the international community in enhancing our safety in using the technology.
And now for a layperson, someone like myself who is not a researcher, what exactly does that mean?
What that really means is that when we can understand the impact of space weather on our technology, we will enhance the capability and the reliability on our technology. An example of this is satellite signal. If you are at the low latitude, you are most likely to get your signals compromised. There are a number of emergencies that we are currently relying on which are dependent on this technology, like surveying, and this is a big issue in Africa. So we need to understand how space status affects our usage of this technology in solving our issues.
For people who are not so familiar with the topic, how exactly does space science support sustainable development, particularly in Kenya?
It's true that up to this time, space science has not supported all the 17 sustainable development goals, but there are a number that are already being supported. If you look at Africa, land is still an issue, resources is still an issue. Like in Kenya, we are already monitoring our elephants using GPS satellite signals. This is quite important. But mostly, space technology is enhancing the quality of education. Remember, one of the greatest pillars of sustainable development goals remains quality education. So we hope to take this ahead and help our people meet the sustainable development goals.
That was Kenyan scientist and lecturer Joseph Olwendo. You've been listening to UN and Africa. Just a reminder to go to our website or SoundCloud and check out the latest Lid Is On podcast, an in-depth report from South Sudan on peacekeeping and protection. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Matt Wells.